with me in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the memoir, Eat, Pray, Love, Elizabeth Gilbert begins her story by recounting the life-altering realization that she came to after only a few years into her marriage. The realization that she did not want to start a family with her husband. In fact, she no longer even wanted to be married to him. She writes of how she could keep this awareness at bay during the day. But at night, she was overwhelmed with sadness. She spent night after sleepless night sobbing on the bathroom floor. But one night, something happened on that bathroom floor that changed the direction of her life. She says, what happened was I started to pray. You know, like, to God. She goes on to write, what I said to God through my gasping sobs was something like this. Hello, God. How are you? I'm Liz. It's nice to meet you. She says, that's right, I was speaking to the creator of the universe as though we had just met at a cocktail party. But we work with what we know in this life. And these are the words I always use at the beginning of a relationship. Now, I love this story for many reasons. I love Gilbert's honesty and humor, her vulnerability, and her courage. And I love her story because it reminds us of two things that I think are important for us in the midst of this preaching series on the intersections between the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and the life of faith. Gilbert reminds us of, first, our need to turn to God when we are either metaphorically or literally laying on the bathroom floor sobbing. And she also reminds us of how easy it is to actually talk to God, how easy it is to invite God into our lives. So first, our need to turn to God when we are sobbing on the bathroom floor. There was a lot happening in worship last Sunday, so unfortunately, we only got to hear an abridged version of Larry's sermon. But he invited us to look for the places in our lives where we have been struggling to change, where we have been trying to figure out a solution on our own. And he encouraged us to consider what it would be like to turn those struggles and those challenges over to God. And he reminded us that step 6 of Alcoholics Anonymous is an internal step of preparation, a step that asks us to prepare our hearts and our minds and our souls for God's healing work. Step 6 says that we need to be entirely ready to have God remove all of our defects of character. We get ready, and then we wait. We wait for step 7, when we humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. This is when we let go and let God. Have you heard that expression before, let go and let God? How many of you have heard that? See that, right? It's kind of become part of our common vocabulary. When someone is struggling with something, to say, oh, let go and let God. So I'm curious, when we say that, when you have seen it, what do you think it means? If you were to put it in your own words, what does let go and let God mean?
Hand it over to God.
Hand it over to God. Okay, so handing something over to God. for God. Awesome. Yeah, Elaine.
Stop trying to control.
Stop trying to control everything. I see a lot of nodding heads to that one. A lot of us can relate to that, right? Our need to control. Mary. Yeah. Only if you let go and let God, everything will be okay. And And that's sort of the damage of faith, right? That we're not asking God to make things perfect. We're asking God to be with us in the midst of the struggle.
Right. Strength of God to be with you, but it doesn't necessarily mean to
fail. Exactly. You get the strength of God to go through the hard stuff. Yeah, so good. I need nothing. Yeah, give it up, right? Yeah, and turn it over to God. Yeah. You and Doug are neighbors and have kind of similar outlooks on this one. Any other reflections on sort of what you think it means when we say, oh, yeah, Jules. Oh, Melinda. Surrender and trust. Yes, we heard that trust word again. Yep, and surrender, have faith, trust. So good. Yep, that's saying everything happens for a reason. And then I always sort of think of a corollary of that is that we don't always get to know what the reason is, right? Like, you know, there is a larger plan in place. And going back to that control piece, we want to know the answers, we want to figure it out, we want to know the purpose for why things are unfolding in the way that they are, and sort of the mystery of God is that we don't get to know that. But we do get to ask God to be with us in the midst of the hard stuff. Reflections. Anyone else want to jump in? Good stuff. As I said, I've often struggled with this saying, let go and let God, because of that feeling like it is relinquishing some of our responsibility. Kind of putting the responsibility for our lives onto God's shoulders and asking God to make the world right when I might feel like I can't figure out what I'm supposed to do to make the world right or to make my life right. And so the way that I really thought about this phrase this week is that maybe let go and let God isn't supposed to be the guiding principle for how the world around us is changed. Maybe instead it can be the guiding principle for how we are changed. Because the power of step 7 is the reminder that our salvation does not depend on our own efforts. Our transformation doesn't depend fully on us. We have to invite God in. And the power that God has to transform our lives is beautifully expressed in Psalm 51. In the 6th verse, the psalmist writes, "You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart." And English translations don't quite do justice to the beauty of the Hebrew wording here that is trying to express the deep reach of God's love. Bursting through the walls of guilt and shame that we have built around us, God goes right to the deepest and darkest parts of our lives. God penetrates through to the inmost being where we hide our deepest and darkest secrets. God goes right there and sets things right, renewing our spirits and giving us clean hearts. And we cannot do this work on our own. I actually love how Richard Rohr puts it in the book that we are reading this summer, Breathing Underwater. He says, "Don't you dare go after your own faults. Don't you dare." We shouldn't do this work on our own because it is both too easy and too hard. It is too easy to keep the walls of guilt and shame built up so that we never end up getting down to the deepest and darkest parts of ourselves, the parts that truly need to be renewed and cleaned up. Our transformation can be too shallow if we don't invite God to be at work in us. But this work is also too hard to do on our own, because when you are lying on the bathroom floor and your life is in pieces all around you, you need to rely on a kind and gracious, merciful, and loving God to pick up those pieces and help you put your life together again. So we need to remember that we cannot do this work on our own. We need to remember to turn our struggles and our challenges over to God and to invite God into the deepest and darkest parts of our lives so that our spirits can be renewed and our hearts can be made clean. at work in our lives. So I want to invite you into a spirit of prayer. Now, oftentimes when I invite you to think about things, sometimes you might get nervous and then I'm going to ask you to share them out loud. So let me just say at the beginning here, I'm not going to ask you to share any of this out loud, because I want you to have the time and the space to connect with God and be brutally honest in the ways that you need to. Because this stuff is not easy. The words might be easy to say, God, I need you, but to be truly honest about where we need God to be at work in us, that is hard, and it is painful and vulnerable and tender. So you will not have to share any of that out loud. But will you please join with me now in the spirit of prayer? Gracious and holy God, as we come to you in this time of prayer, hear us as we silently take a moment to greet you and to say hello to you using the words that come most easily to us. God, we trust in your mercy. We trust in your love. And we know that you will offer us forgiveness and grace no matter what we have done in our lives. So God, help us to break through any walls of guilt and shame that we have built up around our hearts. God, tear through those walls so that you can see our inmost being, you can see our deepest and darkest secrets, and hear us now, in these moments of silence, as we admit to you the things that we would never want anyone else to know about us. Cleanse our hearts. It is in the